Thank you. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Public Works Capital Projects and Transportation Committee, July 8th, 2024, starting at 10 after 6. Welcome to everyone who is here for the meeting and for those joining us online. And thank you for the extra assistance to make sure that online visitors could come into the meeting, have the whole meeting available. I'd like to begin with approval of the June 10th minutes. Motion by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved unanimously. And let's begin with resolutions. Resolution number 382. Amending capital project number 6. Oh, and I request that people make a motion to approve resolutions unless they want to specify otherwise. Thank you. Amending capital project number 653, Hall of Records Building Rooftop Solar Array Project for Construction Service, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget for the Public Works Buildings and Grounds.
I'll move it for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Is there any discussion on this? This is a project that's 100% funded by the county because it's our building. Any additional notes on that?
There are some federal and state reimbursements for this project.
Oh, I have forgotten those. So those are up to like 33%?
30%.
30%. Great. So we have to expend the money and then we can apply for that. And there's a process where you get a registration number. Do we already have that registration number?
We do.
Okay.
And we're going through the
great. Great. $160,000 in savings. Great. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 384, approving the execution of a contract for $472,236.05 entered into by the County National Manufacturing and Distribution, Inc., DBA, National Solar Technologies, Department of Public Works. This would be the contract for the project we just discussed.
I'm over for adoption.
Is there a second? Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. I just have one question. Do we have an estimate on the payback period for this if we get those rebates?
It was submitted with all of the plans. I know it's you're asking that question. It should have an answer. But it's putting up a 100 kilowatt system. It's going to offset the daily electrical use by 58%. So I can get that answer.
Okay. Yeah. I think we didn't talk about it before, but that 58% means it's going to be pretty quick. So might just be great to know that. Any other questions, concerns? All right, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 392, authorizing Department of Planning to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation for funding under the Safe Streets and Roads for All SS4A program to perform a comprehensive analysis of road safety for all users. Department of Planning.
I'm all for adoption.
All right. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Would you like to, let's see, Director Doyle, would you like to describe what this is going to do for the county?
Sure. The county MPO, the Ultra County Transportation Council, has completed a road safety program. We were one of the first in the states to do one on a comprehensive level. After that program was completed, the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act came into existence. Which had a little bit different requirements. So this is to make that study complete to be consistent with the federal requirements, and then we can apply for construction funding. We're also going to break it down by municipality. The current one study does not break it down by municipality. But it's all in an effort to make, one is to make the system safer, but two is to make the county much more competitive in its applications for funding.
Any other questions?
It's 100% federal funding, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, 100% federal. Any concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 394 was defeated in law enforcement and, pardon me? It was defeated in law enforcement and has is going to come to the legislature under petition to discharge, which was successfully completed. So we'll move to resolution number 395, amending the 2024 to 2029. Concern?
No, I mean, if it's coming to the floor, it's...
You want to discuss it?
Yeah, why not?
All right, we could discuss it at the end, but let's go ahead and discuss it now. This is authorizing the acceptance of the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services Law Enforcement Technology Program, LTEC, LETEC, for state fiscal year 2024 to 2025. I should read the resolution title if we're going to discuss it. Resolution number 394, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to accept funding under the state's law enforcement technology LETEC program, amending the 2024 to 2029 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 702, Sheriff's 2024 LETEC program, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Ulster County Sheriff. We don't need to move it because it's not really completely in front of us this evening, but we can discuss it. Yes.
I wasn't at the law enforcement committee meeting. Yes, I wish I was. What was the reason that some legislators were against this resolution?
We have the chair of that committee with us, so if you'd like to speak on that, Legislator Hansen.
Sure. What happened is we only had three people present, so it passed 2-1, and I didn't know at that time that you have to have, it's not based on who's in attendance that night, based on the whole committee, so we needed three to get it passed. So it was a technicality. I wasn't aware of, the clerk didn't catch it. So we already did a petition to discharge and it is passed. So more of a technicality than anything else.
I didn't know if there was an argument to be made against it, the one person.
It was the same as when we had in session one evening, because I think this was for cameras and
equipment.
Yes.
Provided by Axon.
Yes, and like I said, if I was aware that that was what we needed, I think we would have got it through. So,
thank you.
Did we have another comment on it, Legislator Collins?
No, I was going to.
Thank you. So there is some concern that the company that makes this equipment does also make weapons, and there are people who have opposed any contract with this company because of that. This particular technology is involves body cameras and drones, and I think also license plate reading equipment, equipment that I think at least that I don't want to make a claim for other people. It is equipment that I believe makes the law enforcement in Ulster County stronger and fairer, more equitable for our community. And so I have voted in favor of these types of resolutions in order to let a company that does some bad things also do some good things. So we do not have a vote on this tonight, but I think that's good discussion. Appreciate it. We can move to resolution number 395. Amending the 2024 to 2029 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 703, Sheriff's Office Technology Purchase, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Ulster County Sheriff, and I take it back, I think this is the one that has all that equipment I just described. Is there a motion on this? Legislator Lips makes the motion, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. This is increasing the capital project by $110,000 and establishing the project by $275,890, and then those two get added together, I believe. And there's parts of our law enforcement that are already on this system. Is there anything else that you want to add to this, and any of the members of that committee? Any questions from the committee, since we have resources available to address any concerns? All right, then I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 402, authorizing the County of Ulster to dedicate County Road 1, also known as Luskus Avenue, partially located in the town of Ulster, in honor of all Ulster County Vietnam War veterans past and present.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Donaldson, seconded by Legislator Litz. This is a resolution that came to us, went to public hearing, and was endorsed by the public at public hearing roundly. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 403, authorizing the County of Ulster to dedicate County Road 5, also known as Hurley Mountain Road, partially located in the town of Hurley, in honor of all Ulster County Gold Star families, past and present. This is the same situation. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 404, authorizing intermunicipal agreements with various municipalities for the purpose of shared services, departments of public works, highways, and bridges. Moved by Legislator Donaldson.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Litz. This is standard.
Yes, it's a resolution just authorizes the commissioner to enter into agreements with local municipalities.
And this is the same type of agreement that's been in previous years?
Yes.
No changes?
So this resolution is not for any specific municipalities, just the general boilerplate.
It empowers the commissioner to enter into those agreements.
Yes?
Is this also for the state also?
Yes. Yeah.
For state and any of the municipalities in Ulster County. Any other questions, concerns, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 405, authorizing the Chair of Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the Ulster County Board of Cooperative Educational Services, BOECES, in relationship to intermunicipal cooperation for testing services, Department of Public Works.
I'll move for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. This is for administering the electrical licensing board test that the county now requires. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 406, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,515, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the County Dutchess Overhead Doors, Inc., Department of Public Works.
So moved for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. This is the last year on the current bid and adds this amount. Any questions or concerns? All the overhead doors in the county?
Yes.
Maintenance and any repairs? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 407, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000, entered into by the county, the Gordian Group, Inc., Department of Public Works.
So moved for adoption.
Moved by Legislator Litz.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator McCullough. This is for job order contracting consulting services. Do you want to explain what that is?
Sure. Job order contracting is Gordian owns the
the, say it's a program. It's a 5,000-page book with every item from changing a doorknob to paving a street. And there's a list price in this book. We competitively bid all the trades, so we're under contract with 3 different contractors. We have a site work contractor, electrical contractor, plumbing and HVAC contractor. What they do is they'll come, if we have a job, they'll come and propose, give us a proposal using the rates out of the book, and then they put their adder on it, which was competitively bid. So Gordian is the mediator between us and the
contractor. How often is that book updated?
Quarterly.
Okay.
And we've had this contract for 2 years, and it looks like we've expended only close to 85,000 in that 2 years. Thoughts since 2002 on this contract?
Yes. So Gordian gets 5% of the percentages of all the jobs that are done through the contractors. So we're doing a lot of work this year that we used space study that showed what needed to get done in county buildings and county facilities. So we're executing a lot of that this year.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 408, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county, LW Tree Service, Inc., Department of Public Works. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. This is to remove dead and dying ash and other hazard trees across the county. Anything else we should know about it? Then so it would be rebid next year. And it seems like we're having fewer of the ash trees now and now moving more into other hazard trees that might slow down, that kind of don't have many ash trees left to have to take care of in this way. Any questions by the committee? Concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 409, approving the execution of a contract for $316,160 entered into by the County Augustus Enterprise LLC, Department of Public Works. This is our janitorial services and supplies. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any questions or concerns? All right. Is this new or continuing with this particular new contract? So it just was at bid and came back. And the part of this would be used following the county's green supplies policies. So the bidders on these would need to comply with that in their what they bid and then in their implementation. Any other questions, concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have a late resolution which has come before us. This is resolution number 414, authorizing submission of a grant application to the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation and the New York State Dormitory Authority for the New York statewide investment in more swimming as New York Swims grant, Department of Public Works. And I imagine that Deputy Executive Laval could describe for the committee what this is and why it's a late resolution.
Thank you. It's fairly straightforward. To the current issues at the Ulster County Pool and looking towards getting the pool back open for next season, and hopefully improving it. We would like to go ahead and
it's actually good timing in that this grant is still currently, grant applications are due on Friday. So it's coming very quickly here, but we would like to put together an application to see if the state would provide funding towards improving the pool. It is required, it's 80% funding with a 20% match. However, I think we're looking at repairs regardless of this grant application. So it seems like a good effort on our part to try to secure some grant funding to help with needed repair and improvement.
And this would be 80% New York State and 20% Ulster County. Do you know what the maximum award is that we would be applying for?
However, we're I think full deck replacement. We've looked at some initial high level estimates, which we'll have to refine this week, but around $3 to $5 million, I think, is a
safe number.
The resolution says $8 million, I think, is available, and I thought that was for all of New York State, but this is for an individual project, I guess, if you're building a pool or repairing a pool.
So that would make sense that it's a total project cost of $10 million for the 80% grant funding of the $8 million
company. Is there a motion on this?
Yeah, I'll move it.
Move it. For adoption.
Awesome. And seconded by Legislator McCullough. And then we have some, I'm sorry, Legislator Donaldson, thank you. We have some questions, discussion.
Did you say that the grant application is due this Friday?
Yes.
Well, we're not going to vote on this until next Tuesday.
We'll rescind our application.
Yeah. Can you call and ask them if they can extend the application? No.
I have a related point, actually, Legislator Litz. This is an emergency, really, because these pools are serving a public health function, cooling during this hot weather, as well as recreation and enjoyment. We haven't declared it a public health emergency, but I think submitting this application is really, due Friday, potentially saving the county literally millions of dollars. So I urge the county, assuming that it passes this committee, which is its committee of origin, I believe, right, that the executive move ahead. And, you know, with the understanding that application would be rescinded should the bulk of the legislature not follow along with this committee. And I also think that we should try to get this amended, probably for ways and means, to move the budget for the lifeguards that were at this pool to the pools that are taking extra people coming in. And apparently could take many more extra people if there were lifeguards available. To move those lifeguards would require that those pools put them under contract and that then Ulster County reimburse them. That all should be put into a resolution for us for next month, assuming that we move forward with this. But I think we should do something that states in this resolution that that's our intention, and so the executive can do that. Because if we wait until the August meeting, it's mid-August, we've missed most of the season that this would be of value, or missed a good chunk of it. Do we know what the award date on this grant
August.
Is?
Awards announced by August 20th.
So if we wait until August 28th to take action to make more pool sites available, we will not be doing ourselves a favor. Legislator Litz.
The reason I asked the question is because every grant I've filed for, you miss the deadline date, they don't accept the grant.
Correct.
So
the application.
Why are we going through this exercise then?
It would be our intention to, I think this is a bigger point of discussion regarding grants, mm-hmm. and exactly, you know, when, what cases, what scenarios, the dialogue and discussion with the legislature. However, this one, we feel one of the major considerations with grants are you aware of this being a need? And also, what is the match that would be required of the budget in order to complete the project? So I think given the fact that this is a unique grant opportunity and we have a acute need that has come to our attention, it is behooves us to put in a grant application again, rescinding it if it were not to be approved by the legislative body.
And this is a slippery slope that we're going to attempt to do because I don't like setting the precedent of allowing the executive branch to put in paperwork for anything that requires the legislature's concurrence. Because, yes, this is a pool, we need the pool, it's hot, the kids need everything, but somewhere down the road, because this precedent is set, some other thing that the legislature really doesn't agree to, a grant goes in and, well, we did it for the pool, we can do it again.
I think there's a couple of points there that are worth discussing but are notable. One being that this is an application. It is not, there would be, if it were awarded, there would be a separate intermunicipal agreement that absolutely would require full, you know, support of the legislature before that were executed for a contract.
Yeah, but then why does Dennis have to come to us? And we've got several in the hopper for legislature's approval for him to submit a grant, because that's the way it's set up. You need approval to submit a grant, not you submit the grant and then you get approval later on because we think it's a good idea.
So let me jump in here and also bring in others from the committee and other legislators. We have had a discussion in the last meeting, I believe, about moving towards a policy that did not require prior approval for all these grant applications, which, you know, potentially has a benefit. Mm-hmm. We haven't adopted such a policy
right.
yet, so your
That's
point
not there
so your point is taken. Yet this resolution is in relationship to a completely unforeseen circumstance. This was not routine repair. This was all of a sudden a pool and resource showed up. And I think the executive's intention to live by the existing policy is reflected by the fact that there is this resolution in front of us and that there is a mechanism to pull out if the full body doesn't approve this. Legislator Collins?
I just want to mention what you've already
talked about. There was discussion at a prior committee meeting about timing of grant applications. And we can, and this example wasn't brought up then because it didn't happen, but it's an example that was theoretically talked about. Like, what happens if we have a grant application that we need to get done before the session happens that's really, really important and really that we need? What do we do? What criteria can we have that allows the executive office to file the application and then we can approve it later? And, you know, there's bounds on that. There needs to be bounds on that. There are no bounds on that right now. And I agree with Legislator Litz. This is not something that we would normally do and not something that we want to set a precedent in doing without having a policy of what can be done this way and why it can be done this way. You know, the examples that were proposed were, if all of the money was 100% refundable, was one option. Another option was if it was money that we were already committed to spending, and we're just going to be reimbursing that money that we're already spending. Those make sense. To me, this is different than that, but also makes sense because it's something that we know we need, and it's going to be funded at 80% if we get the grant. So I'm kind of in between, right? I'm torn because I don't want this to be practice. As Legislator Litzes has said, I don't want this to be a practice. At the same time, we need to do it, I think.
Let's not do crosstalk, and there was somebody waiting to speak. Legislator McCullough. Legislator Litz.
No, I was just going to say, we could use the federal ARPA money and it'd be 100% reimbursable instead of 80-20.
So if this application goes in and someone wants to write a resolution to fund this from ARPA money instead, we could do it. But if there's 80% New York State money, we're talking probably $2.5 million, that would add $2.5 million to the monies that we already have from ARPA, as I understand. So I think that we can do many things between here and actually using these funds. Legislator Litz.
In absence of policy, and it's been brought up several times, that there has been discussion about creating a policy to be able to put grant applications in prior to the legislature's concurrence. I think it's a slippery slope. I think we need policy. In absence of policy, we should not be making up the law as we go along. We should make up the law and then follow it. So I'm going to vote no, because it's not that I don't want to see the pool be fixed. It should be fixed. But we can't start making up a law without a policy.
Deputy Executive LaValle.
For grant applications that do not include upon submittal some type of language binding the actual submittal of the grant application to contracting, it is actually something where we could point to there not being set policy that says otherwise. It speaks to what you're saying as far as the prior kind of condition. We do this with the CFAs, again, out of practice. However, I'm not aware of an actual rule or policy that does require that when it is not, we are not, through the submission of the grant, binding the county to accept it.
Legislator
McCullough. I agree with Legislator Litton Collins, but from what was said, they're going to make these repairs anyway, right? Regardless. So either we do the grant application, but my question is, if someone does through ARPA, how do we know we're going to get the support to spend that money? How do we know?
So rhetorical, but Legislator Litz?
That's under our control, okay, because we have an ARPA committee. We would petition the ARPA committee, which is Tommy Corcoran is mm-hmm. the chair of that committee, and put in a resolution to fund the repairs to the pool. Because there is a recreation fund, there is a parks fund, there's a lot of different ARPA categories that it could fit in, and I believe there's still ARPA money left.
Next question.
Not at this level, I don't believe there is. Legislator Collins.
So I'm going to ask a very ignorant question as a new legislator. Would it be possible to schedule an emergency session for after Ways and Means on Thursday, right? Assuming it assuming Ways and Means passes this, assuming that this committee passes this, we do an emergency session on Thursday just for this one resolution.
I think that is, there's some notice requirements, but I think we might make it.
But I think, again, frankly, I've worked for the county long enough where I've seen various approaches to this very question, that if the language of the grant submission does not actually bind the county to them moving forward or does not speak on behalf of the legislature, if it is an administrative action, then there were, you know, many years in which we moved forward with those applications. I think our current system here is a means of respecting the relationship between the executive and the legislature and making sure you're aware of what's going on. We're frankly looking for ways that streamline that because we are, you know, staffing up with the grants team. We're trying to be more aggressive about the opportunities we look for. And every one of these resolutions does take not only time to submit, it takes your time and also in discussion. This is a special category in which the money is not currently in the capital project. This is not money that we've already discussed as a need and budgeted. You know, it is an emergency. So we're looking for, you know, this is the notice and the flexibility from your side, knowing that this is an opportunity to get 80% additional funding, which is not in hand, in order to meet a need that we know we have.
Legislator Kovacs?
Yes, I think the concerns raised by those areas are valid. I would characterize this, though, as an emergency situation, and I think the executive's office is moving forward here with good faith, and we are likely to approve this. So I certainly think the concerns are 100% valid, but due to the nature of a swimming pool in the summer, I certainly think we should move ahead with this. I think the other issue that we haven't talked about is, you know, what happened with the swimming pool. What I'd like to see some sort of engineering report. This pool has been working for years. Now all of a sudden it's not working. You know, where is the maintenance records? Yeah. What has happened here? I obviously think this is you know, a terrible situation for the young people in Ulster County. I just want to make sure that you know, we're doing everything we can to keep the swimming pool up and running.
And just, I want to speak to that high level, but just to kind of close the loop on the actual grant application, that I think in any context when we do get into the details of discussing, you know, a procedure, a policy for going forward when it comes to grant applications, I think we need to review what's been precedence versus what is required, because I think there have been different practices in the past for various purposes. Sometimes they have to deal with the particular language around a grant submission. The former CFA, the Consolidated Funding Application process, had very onerous language that by submitting that grant application, you have the authority to bind your entity that you were representing if you were awarded. We don't, as far as folks who were preparing the CFA under those situations, but that was one particular type. And I think we do need the time to look at the various scenarios, also kind of what our rules are versus what our procedures have been. As far as the pool repairs, if I can move to that. So why the pool was filled the 1st of June for the season and it opened on the 15th. It was about the 22nd in which they started to realize that there was a dramatic loss of water. A pool that size, a foot of water equals about 100,000 gallons of fresh water. And they were, in 2 days' time, they were coming to a foot of water. So that's 100,000 gallons of water that is disappearing from the system. They've done extensive work to look at the piping as well as the gutter system. There were drains, hydrostatic pressure, relief drains, about four of them in the pool bottom. they had a diver in to come and inspect those, replace the valves to ensure that that was not the source of the leak, went back out, drained the, allowed the water level to come below the level of the piping system to see if the, you know, to try to figure out where that, that leak was, and it continued to leak water when the, with dye around the main drains and bottom, knowing that it's not a leak in the actual drain system, but rather through the surface area, basically, of the pool structure. There has not been, you know, there have been capital projects. The pool was built in the 70s. There have been a series of capital projects and other major maintenance and operations at the pool. However, those were, have been focused to date on things like the filter system, some of the other kind of appurtenances at the pool. There has not been a major rewind it.
Yeah, 2017, there was a pretty big capital project done, and they, I can't say it, New Berkeley Light, they basically finished the whole top of the pool, and they coated the whole entire pool, and that was 2017.
But we're absolutely bringing out a pool specialist to come and then look for additional leaks. This is a rather profound leak in what we believe is the surface area.
So you're hiring an outside firm to
evaluate
the report?
Okay. Yeah. And they've had divers there pretty much all last week with dye looking for, like what Amanda said, looking in the drains, pipes.
Just a second, the couple of other, well, since on this topic, go ahead, Legislator Lynn.
I was going to say, did you find the original manufacturer? Mm-hmm. I think it's California Pools.
Sorry. You can say that I was around. But the answer is yes, I'm not sure the design work was. I mean, it's a gunite pool, it's all gunited in.
It's the sister pool to the Olympic, Montreal Olympic pool.
Yeah, and we knew the hydrostatic relief valves were there, and we now know, given where the water level is, that it's not the piping system, it's underground. Because a lot of that's underground, we couldn't see it. So now you're literally looking at the main drains aren't a problem, the hydrostatic relief valves aren't a problem. You're probably looking at some area in the pool that is the problem itself. And then that question is we did do it, as Dean indicated, there was a substantial amount of effort done on the pool in 2017, which suggests that something shifted that we, not readily visible.
So leaving for a moment the repairs that might be some sort of patching or the whole thing, and so could be quite expensive. Can we return for a minute to the question of whether we want to, as a committee, move this resolution forward? And I think that Legislator Hansett and Legislator Collins wanted to speak on that.
Something real quick. So there's about $400,000 left in ARPA funding. That's what's there right now. And then what is happening with the employees of the pool? I'm just curious.
So luckily for them, lifeguards are in very high demand. However, we've been in conversations with some of the nearby municipal pools, which have been impacted by pool has closed. So we're working to help them find places to go, and additionally having some discussions regarding if there's a way forward for the county to support additional staffing at the community pools that are seeing a lot higher numbers and attendance. Thank you.
So in relation to that money, I would just note that might be tapped for a match if this project ends up being very expensive and we were to obtain this grant. Legislator Collins?
When we get back to the whole idea of whether or not we should even entertain, of the timing of this, I guess. I agree that there's probably a lot of discussion we can have on the wording and whether it's committed or not committed and whether it's in our purview or not to say yes or no to this. And I don't want to have to do that because I think that gets us into legal issues. I want to work together with the executive because we want the same thing. And I think the easiest way to work together with the executive is if we can do it, just have a special session to deal with this. That way we don't have an issue. We just solve that issue of like, well, then it gives us time to resolve the issue longer term. Like, what kinds of grants can you apply for without our permission? What kinds of can you, and have a real policy for that. So I would feel happier if special session, one resolution, and we passed it, because, I mean, my sense is we all want to do this. It's just a matter of making sure we do it in a way that satisfies the perception of what the rules are, and without involving lawyers, frankly.
We can set that aside
to a certain extent, because if we were going to do that, we would need a vote from this committee. And if we're not going to do that, then it would make sense to have a vote from this committee. But I would say that, one, I intend to try to craft a policy about submitting grant applications, because I think it's ridiculous that we would have the potential to have $2.5 million of funding come in for a project that's needed for the county, and that we would not apply for it because of the timing that the emergency happened. We should have a policy that allows the executive to address that, and how many grant opportunities there are that it is important to put in. The general rule in the nonprofit world is 20 applications for every one award. So if we want to be receiving these awards and having money come from state, federal, and other sources, we have to be able to move forward. So I intended to do that after our discussion last month, and now I pledge to do that. That being said, we have to deal with what we have today. I'm taken by the argument that we don't have a policy either way, and that it has been not completely a courtesy, but it has been an effort for communication and collaboration that has brought resolutions like this to us. Resolutions for applications that do not bind the county to expend any money, I think are ministerial, really. Binding us to spending money, that's a different matter. I think then our policies, our priorities should be reflected in what goes in and where the grant writing efforts go. But on the grounds of this being an emergency, as Legislator Kovacs said, and on the fact that it does not commit the county to spending the award, my own position is in favor. Legislator McCullough.
The two things you just said, that if we come up with policy, we should include that. If we're not obligated to spend, and it's an emergency, things happen. I'm sure they didn't see this coming, and I think it's a good thing to have an opportunity to have this grant application, because they said they're going to do the work anyway. So either we spend the money, or we get help with some money that we're not paying for all of it. But I do agree with not setting a precedent. I don't want to. I agree with that. But.
So you're describing the circumstances that move you to go, as opposed to a broad precedent. Deputy Executive Laval.
If there were an emergency session, you could certainly add a resolved that if there is not full approval at the legislative session, that it's withdrawn, and that we provide that backup and documentation. That's another way to do it.
You're talking about an emergency session of the entire legislature, am I correct?
Yes.
So they can approve it at that time.
I
do think, and I, these are always problematic, and I can tell you the planning department has been in this sort of quandary for quite a period of time, where effectively you find yourself at the end of a grant application and it says, are you authorized to submit and bind the county? And you say no, and then you go, well, then what am I going to do? I can't submit. And so I think the important distinction here is the word submit the grant. So you're really just pushing a piece of paper into the system
but you're not actually committing the county to anything until there's a legislative resolution. And here what we're doing is there's no requirement that basically at the end of this thing it says, can you bind the county? The requirement here is, the requirement here is on the county side is, can we actually push the button to submit it? The answer I would give you in my mind is that there's no foul if we push the button and submit the grant, and at a later time the legislature says, no, we don't want that submitted, and we pull it back at that time. The argument coming from the grant source is not going to give you a problem to withdraw your grant to withdraw the paperwork that you've submitted. And if the legislative will is not to do that, then that's what we're trying to do to respect. I would say that we've moved in a really significant way to essentially make the grant application process much more transparent to the legislature. And there is a need, and I was the one that brought this up at the last meeting, Legislator Nolan, that given the grants office, given the amount of difficulty and time frames involved, the idea of doing these in a timely fashion become increasingly difficult relative to what's happening at the grant application process. I firmly believe that the state is engaged in a race between how many applications they're going to get, how close the deadlines can be so that they don't get too many. And so what ends up happening is these come out and you may have 2 months to respond, depending upon when they come out, misses resolution deadlines for us. So the idea of essentially sitting down and working this out so that the legislature has a clear sense of what we're applying for. And even with that, the idea that when we actually put the grant in, that you actually know what the grant actually went in for. We're not talking about, we think we're going to apply between 2 and 3. This is what we apply for. And we've added language to the resolutions now that says that when we submit these kinds of grants, that the grant applications are submitted to the legislative clerk so that there's a file on what was actually submitted. All of that, in my mind, protects the legislature's transparency issue and protects the legislature from essentially making sure that what we're doing on the executive side reflects what we've said we would do when we had these discussions with you. Even to the extent that we may or may not know how much we're asking for because we're still working those numbers out. So almost until, in the case of Community Development Block Grant Fund, almost until the last minute, we're submitting grants a day before the deadlines. And in the past, we were asked, can you give us a copy of the grant for the legislature to consider at the resolution stage? No, we can't. You know, and just be aware of the fact that it's just the way that the grant process works, that you're developing these things to the last minute almost, compared to where we are in terms of the legislative calendar. Thank you for the time.
Legislator Litz and then legislator.
Yep. I'm never a proponent of putting the cart before the horse. You really don't go anywhere when you do that. And I think that's what we're doing here. I know you don't want to get lawyers involved, but I think we have legal counsel. They should be looking at why has the legislature required these resolutions for grants in the past if it's not a requirement? Because in the 12, 14 years, however I've been here long, we constantly vote on grants before they're submitted. Now, Deputy LaValle said something very interesting a few minutes ago about we need to go back and look at the precedent of what we submitted in the past, which is telling me that there's a possibility that the executive branch has submitted grants without the approval of the legislature. And that's what we're doing right here. We're setting a precedent by allowing that to take place. And, you know, don't get me wrong, this is more about policy and how the legislative branch and the executive branch operate with each other than it is the county pool. I mean, the county pool needs to get fixed. If this was not a county pool issue, quote, an emergency, which I understand it's hot and we would like to have a pool, but I don't think it's absolutely a necessity creating an emergency. When a bridge falls down or a road collapses, those are emergencies, especially since you have, you know, EMS and police and fire that need to get to the other side of this collapse. That's a real true emergency. I don't know. I'm still going to vote no, because I think we need to really develop a policy, which I'm very happy that you're willing to take on that task. But to put the cart before the horse and allow apparently a precedent that I wasn't aware was a precedent until I just heard it, we got to come to grips with this. I mean, in my mind, I'm divorcing this from the pool. I mean, I don't want the pool to be done. You know, I'd love to have it done tomorrow. But this is a slippery slope that we're trying to negotiate.
Legislator Hanset?
My question was, and I just found the answer in the backup, was when did this funding opportunity announcement come out, which was May the 1st?
But I think the question
goes with that is when did the problem with the pool develop?
Right, but could it have been used as like as maintenance? No. Okay. All right.
Okay. So
I would say that I understand the position of opposing as on principle. I do think this is an emergency. There are public health officials, public health statements have gone out in New York State encouraging people to go to pools as cooling on these hot days. And people can die from heat stroke and don't often die from a bridge going out, usually can find another way around it. So what's an emergency depends upon what your need is, and it's some of our these municipal pools serve a broad section of our communities, and people who don't have access to them may not have access to transportation to go to some of the other pools. So I think we should do everything we can to get staffing up at the other municipal pools to allow hundreds of more people to go there when they can, but also do these repairs as quickly as possible. And my personal view is that if we were to, I just can't imagine anybody objecting to this application on the content. Everybody agrees on the content. So the question is procedural. I care about procedure, and so I understand the objection, but I would encourage the committee to think about, you know, whether the circumstances warrant going on the content here. And I think to the extent that this might be said to set a precedent, there's the chance for somebody, the opportunity for somebody to bring forward a policy that says this can never happen. But I don't think we have such a policy on the books at present. So I think we have a little bit of wiggle room. Executive Director Laval?
I think sometimes a grant application requires a resolution of support. This one does not. That's also one of the reasons why in the past, you know, certain, that resolution we've seen, it requires a resolution of support. Just to clarify, it's been previous administrations that had a different, kind of mode of operation. So just to, there will be another discussion where we can go through the history and the nuances of these grant applications. But I just want to share that that's definitely a prior administration that had a different viewpoint on that. Again, I would just go back to my suggestion that since this resolution is purely for the body, for the government, that we add in the language that if this is pending, the application is going in and it's pending full legislative approval, and if it's not approved, it will be withdrawn.
So we could make that amendment. I personally am willing to accept the executive's commitment
that they would withdraw it if people didn't approve. But if the sense is that that would be an improvement, we could make, that's a very simple amendment to write in. The other amendment that I'm proposing is more complicated, so I'll talk to people about trying to do that in ways and means, and we could do this one in ways and means at the same time. unless there's a strong sense in the committee that we should rewrite, you know, we should add that in. But I think that is a, I'm willing to take the executive's office on it, you know, on that word. Legislator Kovacs?
I think Leslie or Collins' idea of a special meeting Thursday afternoon or Friday is really the way to resolve all these issues.
Okay. It wouldn't be up to this committee
no,
on
I
that.
That. Just speaking for the record.
Yeah. Legislator McCall?
I wouldn't be able to make it Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
I'm in New York City.
Yeah. So I kind of agnostic about that. I think that it would have the benefit of addressing Legislator Litz's concern, but I don't believe this sets a precedent that is going to be harmful for this county. And so it is somewhat of a hassle to get a full legislative meeting by Thursday evening, just short notice. So I would say that we can set that aside, and we can, those that would like to have that meeting can make that request of the chair, unless we want to, you know, recommend it as a committee that we do that. I'm not ready to go to that yet. Legislator Litz.
No, I would respectfully request the chairwoman to get advice from legal counsel, because I mean, I don't know how many grants we processed last month for the sheriff's department. It's probably, I don't know, 6 or 7. Are they required to come to us, or by doing this, will the sheriff be able to just put his grants in without the concurrence of the legislature?
Well, I haven't been a formal member of this body as long as you, but I've been coming to meetings for many, many years, decades, as you. And it is my sense that we are seeing many more of these resolutions for the applications than used to happen. And that's what I think Deputy Executive LaValle is alluding to. So we are being engaged in the process much earlier, but without a policy that is guiding that. So that's why I'm feeling like we don't have a policy that prohibits us from endorsing this. I think it's, you know, the large amount of the request is a motivator to the executive to bring it and get some sense from this body, at least from this committee, of how we feel about it. And I think that if there's enough pushback, then going to a full meeting makes sense. I'm happy to take it to council and have you take it to minority council. But on its face, there's nothing in the application process that requires a resolution. There's nothing in this resolution. I mean, in a way, this is kind of a memorializing resolution, because it doesn't obligate this body to anything. Legislator Collins.
I'm going to disagree with that. I think if commit this body to a policy of attempting to fix the pool, obviously we all want to fix the pool. There's no concern that we don't want to fix the pool. We want to fix the pool. But it is like, it is something that we're taking an action on. We're taking an action to fix the pool. That's going to cost us money. Whether or not we get this or not, that's going to cost us money. So to me, it is something that we are involved with. It is something that the legislature needs to say yes to, either now or later. And I'd rather say now, and the timing sucks, right? You know, if this was a week later that the deadline was due, we would have no issue with this. So I'm going to come back to my initial suggestion. The best way to do this is for this body to vote yes, the Ways and Means to vote yes, and have a special session after Ways and Means to vote yes, and we can look at the larger issue later. But this solves the current issue and gets us the application done in time. So that's my suggestion.
I'm going to agree with you in part and disagree with you in part. Because this establishes, I think, the capital project, right? No, it does not. So it's just the application. So I'm going to disagree. I think submitting an application does not establish a capital project. I could have written that into the same resolution as far as I'm concerned. But when we establish and I think it will be when we establish the capital project for this, then that will be the action. So this is a good discussion. I think that I still haven't made up my mind about the issue of the special legislative meeting, but perhaps if it can be done, it is the cleanest, and so I'm certainly not opposed to that. But I do want to bring this conversation to closure unless there's something new that somebody wants to add, because if we do a special meeting, this committee should have voted on this up or down, and if we don't, we have an obligation to take that vote. So does anybody have opposition to my calling the question? All right, all those in favor of resolution number 414, aye. McCullough, Kovacs, Nolan, Donaldson, and all opposed. Legislator Litz, any abstentions? Thank you, everybody. I think that's a very healthy conversation. We have a forthcoming resolution on resolution number 356 was postponed in energy and environment, but we'll likely see it again next month, establishing a policy requiring consideration of use of hemp insulation in certain Ulster County capital construction projects. So I had some conversations with the staff in Public Works, and I think we still have some further discussion with Legislator Hewitt about this resolution, which I think does some good things, but still a little worrisome to me in the way it does it. Anybody feel the need to discuss it this evening in anticipation of next month? I just encourage you to have conversations with Legislator Hewitt. I think he's still open to amending this or continuing to work on it. Is there any new business? Are there any updates or any old business that we should address, Legislator Litz?
There's two. Update on Union Center Road.
Let the record reflect that the Commissioner of Public Works handed over photographs of the repairs.
You got a promotion.
Sorry, Deputy Commissioner.
Does that come with the money? Or? Thank you.
There are sections that are not done.
I'm sorry.
But it has to do with private property and the height. So they are approved. Thought that they didn't need to have the shoulders there. They didn't, you know, especially on private property. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
And what about the culverts?
Culverts on Union Center?
Yeah.
They were inspected. Inspected, okay. And anything that needed to be cleaned out were cleaned.
But they, okay, good, because they flooded like 6 times a year ago. Okay. Thank you.
Number two,
153 South Riverside Road.
Is that Mr. Music?
That's Mr. Music.
Yes.
Wow. Two for two. Did he supervise?
I don't know that. I'm sure.
Because I was in the room but not present when he was close enough to hear, but I did hear from people that were that he was asking the newspaper to come out and take his picture cleaning out the Ulster County culvert. He wanted it put on the front page of the paper. But we won't have to do that now.
They went out, I believe it was the next day.
Good, thank you. Thank you.
The department can consider going out and taking their own pictures of their own workers doing that work if you would like.
Well, it's 94 years old and he attempted to clean the culvert himself at 94 in this weather. So,
you
sent
him to the pool.
There you go. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Yes, Legislator Kovacs.
Lakes Mill Road Bridge.
I know it just
like timing wise. I know they're working on it. I don't, I can give you an update right now. I don't know.
I heard that they were, there was more extensive work that needed to be done.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. There was. Yeah. There's an add on.
So originally it was 3 months and now it's
longer. It might be like maybe another month added to it. But we'll follow up.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And I think there are a couple of documents that you've requested from the Casco Mountain Railroad. Any updates on that? No? Okay.
I know they sent the air test recently. That was within the last week or so.
So this is air test on results of air quality testing after the conversion to use of biodiesel.
So they were provided a daily average air quality number. We can follow up with them on that. We would also like to see the job. There was a request for some additional information for the lease information that mm-hmm. was related to the operation of the Casco Mountain Railroad. I believe that that had been recharged yet from CMR.
No.
So.
All right. So we need the raw data on the air quality test. We need their timing of the switch to biodiesel. And we need some documentation in regard to the lease, some paperwork on that. I would just note again that the air quality measurements that are being collected for the CMRR are for volatile organic compounds and particulate matter. They don't address nitrous oxides, which occur when you burn any fuel. So nitrous oxides would not be expected to go down from the conversion they've made. There's some research that suggests they may go up with the burning of biodiesel as compared with other fossil fuels. The CMRR had mentioned that they would be considering putting on some sort of catalytic converter. It didn't have that name when you use it on a train. That, I think, would address the nitrous oxides. And so if we're requesting the raw data, maybe we could also ask them if they have made any further inquiries about cleaning up the nitrous oxides from their engines as well.
The air quality monitors that they have installed track several different size categories of particulate matter, PM 2.5, PM 10, and volatile organic compounds. They did note in their transmittal to us that they were still investigating. They're having some high VOC readings, and they were still investigating what the cause of it.
And there have been some inquiries about whether the county would consider a policy dealing with poor air quality days and the operations of the CMRR. So if you would keep that open as we're looking at this, you know, if they're using biodiesel in engines that previously used fossil fuels, there might be some continuing VOCs for some time until those burn out. But it still is a problem for regional air quality and possibly for their passengers. If that is still happening, they're getting high VOC readings and we have poor air quality days. And the nitrous oxides is still a problem for the regional air quality as well as for their passengers.
And you should know that we are setting up additional air quality monitors that are not related to the train that are related to air quality in the city of Kingston. So we have two locations that we're looking at and have the money within the capital project to essentially put that in. And in addition, we now have completed the camera installation on the Midtown Lanier Park, so that the cameras are up and operating with the cooperation of the city of Kingston, setting them up and getting up there. So that's really good news on that. We now have both video on
yep,
that.
So actually an update to that, that the two outside air quality monitors, they're called Purple Air, is the brand, and those have been installed and they are live. So the Purple Air monitoring network is a real-time monitoring network, so you can go online, find the map with Purple Air, and you can look at various air quality. They have a lot of libraries locally that are part of the system, a lot of different municipal buildings, so it's a good way to look kind of community-wide at air quality, but there are two specifically that are co-located with the security cameras on the Midtown Linear Park, which is good for both warning people when there are air quality alerts for outdoor recreation, but also having some kind of outside information around that corridor.
Great. Anything else? Legislator comments?
Is Union Road Bridge, you guys? In Woodstock? Or is that town?
Town.
It's town.
It's an town road.
It's town road. Yeah, Union Road. Okay. Just wonder if the status on that. Not a big deal. I just I walk by it every day, so.
So, bring it next meeting. Anything else?
Thank you, everyone.
I'll make a motion
by Legislator Litt, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?